This morning we're going to go to Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. And there'll be an outline in the bulletin for you to follow if you care to. If you don't care to, do it anyway. And this is a very familiar text. It has become a friend to me. I take it with me. It's a part of my life. And I pray this morning that as we leave here, it'll be a friend to you and be helpful in your life. Would you follow as I read the text? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious about nothing, but in everything, by prayer with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. May the Lord bless this word to our hearts today. The title or the subject of this passage is the power of peace. The purpose for the passage is to encourage the saints. And I have found that that is a major part of the ministry of the Apostle Paul, to encourage the saints. Why? Because Christian people need encouraging. You would think that that might not be true, but it is true. Christians become discouraged. Why? Because their expectations are higher. We read the Ten Commandments, we read the New Testament, and we see we fall short, and we get discouraged. And then we become self-condemning. Christians are very self-condemning because we have such a high standard. And so Paul's ministry is wonderful. He'd go to a town, start a church, stay there a while, and then come back and write a letter or visit to encourage the saints. So here is a text of scripture. It is not a psychology. It is not a mind game. It is not a passage to try to talk ourselves into something. This is theology. This is the theology of prayer. An interesting thing through the years is that when polls have been taken among Christians asking them, what is your most difficult problem in the Christian life? Or where do you have the most questions? And the answer is prayer. Christians have questions and difficulties in prayer. This is a passage about prayer. And it's good for us. Not a mind game. It's not a trick. It's real. Last week, I took our car in for service, and I was talking with the receptionist. And after we talked for a while, I said, "Where do you go to church?" Well, she blinked a little, And said she goes to a church in our area. And I said, why do you go there? She said, well, you can be of any religion. And they talk about interesting subjects and they make you feel good. I said, do they get you to heaven? She blinked. She says, no, you have to do that yourself. I said, how are you doing it? She says, by being good. I said, are you good enough? She said, I'm trying. I said, you need a savior. And then a lot of people came around and we couldn't continue, but I thought, what a tragedy for this person. It's just a mind game. She's not getting theology. We need this truth. So let's get into the text now with what the apostle brings. The first word in verse 4, rejoice. Rejoice. What a great word. It's like joy. And gladness. It's wonderful. When you wake up in the morning, let that be your first thought. Rejoice. And you meet people in your household, say to them, rejoice. What a great thing. I hope you're rejoicing, at least by the time we get through. It's a great word. Rejoice. And then he says, rejoice in your circumstances. Are you looking? You have your Bible open? You should. Rejoice in the Lord. Now, I've known many families who for a time had reasons to rejoice in circumstances, everything going well, but before long, things change. They lose the circumstances. It happens. I suppose Job is the classic example of that. You remember Job? Here's a man who had everything. The wealthiest man in the East. He had everything. And then one day, it was gone. But in chapter 1, the Bible says Job had 7,000 sheep. Now, I've never been on a sheep ranch, but I've read about sheep. And sometimes driving in the country, you see 300 or 400 sheep on a hillside, and they take up quite a bit of that hillside. 300 or 400. 7,000. How much room does that take? And how about the logistics of moving them from pasture to pasture? And then to shear them. And they didn't have electric shears. It's amazing. 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels. What do you do with 3,000 camels? You can't ride them all day. 500 yoke of oxen and 500 female donkeys. I've been around a donkey. Not here, but somewhere else. And they bray, you know, B-R-A-Y. And it's not a real pleasant sound. It's real loud. And if you had 500 donkeys praying at night, you'd never sleep. Job had a great family, had a great household, and then, before long, he lost it all. And he had a plague of boils all over his body. And Job and his friends are trying to figure out what happened. And they're saying, Job, there must be some evil in your life. And Job is claiming innocence. Now, on the scene steps Mrs. Job. And Mrs. Job says to him, in essence, stop claiming your innocence, curse God, and die. What a lovely person. What a loser. Well, she leaves the scene and she's no longer there. No, saying that, I see Kathy Waller here and suggest this could be your next play, The Drama of Job. Who's going to play Mrs. Job? That's the question. But you know what Job is doing? He is saying, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job was a rejoicer, not in circumstances, but in the Lord. And when you and I have no earthly reason to rejoice, we rejoice in the Lord. And you will always find reason to rejoice in Him. Of just thinking of who He is, what He has done, what He is doing this morning, and what He's going to do, He is worthy of all rejoicing. Now, Paul is not finished with this statement. We think that we could go on. No, we can't go on. Rejoice in the Lord always. Ah, there's a catch. Sometimes, once in a while, no. Always. What's that mean? It means continually, over time, unceasingly, without a break. Always rejoice in the Lord, always. What is this? This is unconditional rejoicing. We talk about unconditional love, unconditional faith. The Bible speaks of unconditional rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord always. In the book of Habakkuk, Pastor Kevin pronounces it Habakkuk, and that's correct, Jewish way to say it. I say Habakkuk because it's a little easier. And in chapter 3, he writes, the fig tree does not blossom. The vineyards are not producing. The olive tree is not good. There are no flocks. There are no herds in the stalls. He lists 6 things there that are disaster. But you know what he writes? Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. That's unconditional faith and unconditional rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord always. Paul, are you through with us? No. There's more. Hold on. There's more. Rejoice in the Lord always. And what? Again. You're not going to let us go. And again, I say, rejoice. This must be very important to the Holy Spirit who caused Paul to write this. Very important for us this morning. Rejoice in the Lord always, not just for ourselves, because it gives glory to God. As we are rejoicing people, God is glorified. Now Paul goes on to say, be anxious about nothing. Now, this word translated anxious brings up a lot of ideas and thoughts about anxiety, worry, fear, stress, tension, being nervous, being uptight, and too many people live like that. This kind of life disturbs health. It disturbs relationships. And we need to be healed. Now, the Bible is full of statements of fear not, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This is an important biblical concept and principle. Fear not. Now, if someone comes to us and say that they are in a state of fear, nervous, anxious, we often say, well, don't fear. Don't be anxious. Don't worry. A wife comes to a husband and said, I really feel low. I'm down. I'm hurting. The husband says, oh, don't feel that way. That just makes it a little worse. Now, the Bible says the same thing. We just read it. Be anxious about nothing. Now, what's the difference? The husband doesn't give solutions. The Bible gives solutions. And Paul is going to enumerate that for us as we go on in this passage. Be anxious about nothing, but complain about everything. Be a griper. Be a whiner. Be anxious about nothing and pray about everything. This message containing prayer is the kind of prayer that involves the word leaving. There's a good old song we used to sing. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. In 1 Peter we read, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. We pray, and we leave it. Many people say, I cast my burden on the Lord yesterday, but he took it back today. No, leave it there. This prayer is leaving the worry, the fear, the anxiety with him. He's well able to take care of it. And whether you do that or not probably depends on what you think of him. We pray, we leave, and we trust. What do we do with anxiety and fear? Be anxious about nothing, but pray about everything. And then Paul goes on to say, be thankful for anything. Be anxious about nothing, pray about everything, and be thankful for anything. Why is that? Because when we have prayed, and we have access to God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and he hears our prayer, and he cares about us, that prayer is answered. And we are to be content with his answer. His way of answering and his timing of answering. That's trusting. Be anxious for nothing. Pray about everything. Be thankful for anything. There isn't enough time or words in a lifetime to talk about the importance of being thankful. Being thankful gives us a good mind, gives us good emotions, and certainly affects our physical health. Think about being a thankful person. Be anxious for nothing. Pray about everything and be thankful for anything. And let your requests be made known unto God. You're not giving him information that he doesn't know about. We just have the privilege of being in contact with him. And this prayer is expressing our dependence upon him. This is not something we work up. It's something he brings to us, and we respond. Let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace that passes understanding. It's beyond human logic. It's beyond human reasoning power. Because it's the peace of God. The Bible speaks also of the peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. No unbeliever has peace with God. The Bible says the unbeliever is the enemy of God, does not want God, does not have peace with God. And we believers now have peace with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has removed the barrier of sin that separated. We have peace with him, and we can now experience the peace of God. God's own peace he gives to us. It's a gift. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And I don't know how we can think about this, but we can try. Within God himself, what kind of peace does he have? Well, it's perfect. God's peace, the peace of God, will guard your hearts and minds. That's a promise. That's a power of peace. It brings change. When you have peace, it changes everything. It's powerful. It's from God. It guards and keeps and brings security. And what a relief is peace. I remember a man in Newport Beach that was in a Bible study, and we'd go to breakfast, and afterwards he'd want to talk, and we'd walk in the parking lot. As we were walking along, he'd be crying out to God, "Oh, for one moment of peace." And you think of the world this morning. The world's search for peace. The amount of money and the amount of time that's spent on people seeking peace is beyond our thought. They try to find it in all the wrong places. And all they find is a momentary enjoyment, but it's gone. Here is God's word to us. The peace of God will, not maybe, not perhaps, will keep, guard your hearts and minds. Now, for us to believe that, we must know the God who made the promise. You must know that he's faithful. You must know that he's able. Why pray to a God if you don't think he's able to do it? He is totally, completely, absolutely sovereign over everything. That's our confidence in him. He is faithful, he is able, and he cares. And we respond in worship. Right now, this morning, rejoice in the Lord. You may have come in here with a heavy trial, a heavy burden, beyond human help. But right now, leave it with him and rejoice in the Lord. Paul summarizes all this by saying it's through Christ Jesus. That makes it real. He is the one who made peace with God for us. He reconciled us to God. He did that. We could not. He did it. And we worship Him. Our Lord Jesus Christ. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. How I found in Him a friend so kind and true. I would tell you how He changed my life completely. He did something no other friend could do. All my life was filled with sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was filled with misery and woe. Jesus put His loving arms around me and led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There is no other friend as kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cares for me. And oh, how much He cares for you. Amen.